Yeah, let's try McBride.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have our friend Wendy Bowlesby as a guest. She's in a mixed marriage with a believer, and we talk to her about that, and we also get around to defining what an accepted fan moniker is.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick, joined as always by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And this time I actually said my name. You know.
Yeah. And you almost said mine.
I know. Well, I said most of it. So
joined by who am I?
What? I'm not there yet. You don't get to talk until we introduce you. That's
yeah, we'll get there. Yeah.
We are joined this week by our guest, Wendy Bowlesby.
Hello.
She is one of my oldest friends. Wendy and I actually...
Yeah, she's pretty old.
She's pretty old. Yeah.
Dude, birthday next week. Don't be... That's bitter, man.
I
that's
know,
bitter.
It's rough. It's rough.
Tim said it.
I did. I meant a different thing. Thank you very much.
I think the corollary there is you're really old.
I'm really old. I'm older than you, so...
Yes. No, that's crazy.
And I know.
Wait a minute. Why is it crazy that something's older than me?
Because you're all so fucking old. So you're not even that much older than me, honestly.
Yeah, just old enough to be older than you. So Wendy is here because we wanted to talk about mixed marriages. Because Wendy is an atheist relatively recently.
I've been an atheist for a long time. I just haven't bothered to talk about it much.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And your husband, Chris, is not?
Nope.
Is he, what is he a Christian? Is he kind of a theist? What would you consider him to be?
I would put him in the theist category. When I met him way, way back in 2000, so 14 years ago, when I met him, he was definitely a Christian, like to the point, and it was sort of adorable and yet kind of creepy, that if he said, God damn it, or Jesus Christ, he would reflexively right after that apologize to God for saying
ooh.
It.
Oh, wow.
So.
He would go, oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, Father.
And oh, I was wow. Like, wow. Raised Catholic then?
No,
or?
No. He no, was just, you know, some brand of Minnesotan
yeah,
Christian.
Yeah, there's some super heavy-duty Lutheran in Minnesota where, like, you can't take the Lord's name in vain, and it's borderline Catholicism.
You know, now that you mention it, my mom's parents, the Lutheran minister and, you know, pastor's mm-hmm. wife, they weren't allowed to say... Dang or darn
yeah.
or gosh darn it.
Because God knows what you mean.
Right.
Yep, exactly.
No, that was exactly it. I mean,
yeah.
And I kind of feel the same way, but
no,
like,
yeah.
Don't say like shoot. Just say shit, man. We all know what you're saying.
Well, that's how. That's why I hate on TV when they say freak. Like, oh, I'm so freaking mad. Either say fucking or say something else. Like,
yeah.
Find another way to phrase that. Saying I'm so freaking mad is just such a stupid censorship rule. It's eek versus uck is stupid.
Well, but maybe they are actually freaking mad. Like, they're so mad that they're turning into a freak.
Okay,
so,
sure.
So, not, like, not, darn versus damn.
That's
or,
fine,
or
but
I mean,
not,
there are other examples.
Not what the freak.
Except that I kind of want them to start saying I'm so streaking mad, and then they would take off all their clothes to prove how mad they were and streak. Mm,
can't have that either. No nudity.
Yeah, no yeah. nudity yeah. on TV.
Well, you could
lockdown.
Pixelate it. It's what?
Black bars or flesh tone pixelation?
Yeah. What?
I mean, preference. Which would you prefer?
Oh, totally black bars.
Yeah. I think black bars are funny.
Pixelation.
Black
and black bars,
are funny.
Especially as they move around.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with how racist this conversation just got.
I would like African-American bars, please.
Oh, God. We're nowhere near where
we
started.
No, seriously. I was just about to ask, though. So, he's super religious and saying that kind of thing. And were you ever even close to religious?
Not as long as I've known him. I mean,
no, you. Were you ever...
Was I,
yeah.
Yes. Because I was... My mom was a Catholic. So, like, talking about things you can't say, like, she was always told, you can't use swear words, so... And swear words have no meaning, so you might as well just say, oh, chair. And so there was one time as a child, my mother said, good gravy grief. And she got the shit slapped out of her by her mom. And she's like, well, what are the rules here? Then apparently I can't say anything because I said gravy and you slapped the shit out of me.
Wow.
So Catholic crazy. So then by the time I was born.
Don't you mean slap the peanut out of her?
Slap the chair right out of her.
Slap the chair right out of her. Yeah. By the time I was born, my mom was married to my father, duh, and...
Well, that's not a given, but in this case, it was...
In this case, that was actually true. Yeah. And I was raised, from my earliest memory, Pentecostal.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, I have memories of my mother...
Was your father Pentecostal?
We all went to church.
I know, but, like, did your mother convert to that?
I don't know how it happened, and I've never asked.
Interesting, okay.
I know that my mother was sick and fucking tired of Catholicism.
Fair enough, yeah. I could see going into a revival religion if you're tired of the old, like...
Which are they again?
Pentecostals?
Yeah.
That's bordering into like snake charming.
Speaking in tongues.
I have memories of my mother speaking in tongues.
Oh man.
Tent revival, kind of like what you think of when you think of like
and that's Bible kind belt. Of amazing because your mom is really cool now.
Did she get over it or?
Clearly.
Well, my mom's spiritual journey is a subject for a different podcast. My mom's currently like this hippie New Age pagan thing.
Sure.
And she's a Reiki healer.
Okay.
So that's where she's gone. She's made that traverse. Oh, and Reiki. I even sort of followed that path because I was raised Pentecostal, which fucked me up in all kinds of ways. But I got to say, at least the services were energetic. So there was that.
Yeah.
And so as I got older, like there was a brief period when I was in high school that I actually like went back to Christianity hardcore, and that didn't work for me. And then I was like toying at the end of high school in my early 20s with paganism.
I
ended up going to a Catholic college, and I think that was pretty much the final nail.
Sounds like my life. I mean, the high school to late 20s shit especially. Yeah.
When I went to Catholic college, you had to take a class in religion, and so I took Catholicism, and I sat in that class, and everybody in it was Catholic except me, and so my hand was just constantly up, like, you believe what the fuck? Explain to me what the hell? What? And by the end of that class, I'm like, religion is crazy. And then for a while, I was sort of just spiritual, and then I went, this is bullshit. Let's just call it like it is.
You went through that while you were knowing Monty or before?
Before. So by the time I met him, I was, there's no God.
Okay.
There's no God.
So you're like believing there's no God. And Chris does.
Yeah.
We also call him Monty. That's his nickname. But it's kind of,
there's a lot of Chris's in the world.
Yeah. What's your fan accepted pseudonym? What's your term?
Accepted fan moniker. Okay. Right. I've got to explain this for a second. Going back, I've used this term in a few of the past podcasts. Way back when Minicon and Convergence split, this is Minnesota fan politics for those of you that don't give a fuck about this.
We're talking 1998-ish.
Yeah. So way back when this split happened, there was this huge debate going on at Minicon surrounding badge names, and the issue was that they felt that you should have your real name on your badge. Because when you want to walk up and introduce yourself to somebody, you should be able to get their real name off their badge, not some weird. So,
oh my God.
Because asking them their name is far too difficult.
Like stodgy old buttholes.
Yeah,
like,
dude, that no shit.
So there was this whole
huge online debate about it. It was fucking insane. And the one thing that everybody said was, now, if you have an accepted fan moniker. That's okay. So
like Cargill.
Like Cargill.
You wouldn't have to have Christopher.
No, he wouldn't.
Or Hedgie, or Monty.
Or Monty.
That's his accepted fan moniker. Therefore, it can be on his back.
You know what? I think Vu would actually qualify for that for me because I was known. People actually have called me that for years.
I've had the same screen name since, like, I don't know, I was 10 years old. That's got to come for something.
But I don't know if anyone calls you Nick IQ, right?
No. Or
that's
or
the thing.
Exactly.
Or Coin, yeah.
I always
pronounced it Nikki Q.
I know. I get a lot. All the spam I get is like someone talking to like Nikki Q. It's always like clearly for some girl.
my online name, Pet Snake Reggie. Nobody ever calls me that, and I'm totally cool
with
that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't put it on my badge, of course, because it's not an accepted fan moniker.
That's
because
super
nobody
funny.
Calls me that. So anyway, Chris Monty. And Monty are the same thing, and we're totally getting off track. So this is like the most.
Yeah. You know what's ironic, and this is even more ironic, is you talking about how off track we are is making us more
even
off track.
More off track. So
let's talk about why
maybe
we're off
just
track.
Get back on track.
So
when I met Chris, I was atheist, but I wasn't out about it because let's face it, the atheist movement has really been coming into its own in just the last couple of years as more and more people
sure.
are
yeah,
like, you know what?
At least like five. Seven, you know, yeah,
as people
six.
Are like, not just, I'm atheist, but by the way, I'm going to kind of tell you and I'm going to kind of be like, you should respect that and not force me to be religious when I don't want to be.
Stand up and be counted. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And thank God for the internet for that. Woo.
Yeah.
For sure.
Facebook has helped with that, I think, a lot. And social media in general. Sites like Reddit and sites like Facebook and not Tumblr, but any kind of that has made it a little easier for people to anonymously talk about being an atheist on Reddit and then move that into their personal life on Facebook.
Someone made the case for Facebook furthering, you know, the acceptableness of being an out atheist because of the, in your profile, just the religious views mm-hmm. atheist.
Yep.
And just when people look at your profile and click about and happen to be just looking through and they say, oh, atheist, just that.
Or they go, oh my God, an atheist.
And it doesn't
right.
say,
way.
It doesn't say atheist, fuck you Christians. It
nope.
just says atheist.
Yeah. You could have it say that though.
Do you know what my Facebook religious affiliation is?
I would love to know.
Chaos theory.
That's good.
That's good. So did you and Chris have a conversation when your relationship got more serious about religion?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I feel sort of bad because, you know, yeah, we're a mixed marriage, but Monty and I are about the most chill people who are exact opposites that you can get. Well, really, I'm an extrovert extreme, and he's an introvert. I'm a night person, he's a day person. I graduated high school in the 80s, he graduated high school in the 90s.
Cradle robber.
Yeah. He's robbing the grave.
And he likes it, let me tell you. So,
up top,
but
Monty.
For all these very huge differences between us, we get along really well and we rarely argue. So these conversations are more just kind of just discussions and this is what I think. And then, oh, that's an interesting thought. Well, what does that mean? And then we kind of go away and think about it. And if there's anything left, like, wait, what is that? What were you talking about? Then you come back. So, and I sort of just rubbed off on him in lots of ways.
Does he believe in heaven?
I don't know if he still does now.
Because
I know that he definitely did.
Because that's one of those, the few stick, not to like interject like possible arguments into your marriage, but like when I've read on, I used to be kind of active on Reddit with the atheism board and people would talk about having mixed marriages or being like, I think I'm realizing I'm an atheist now and my wife is so Christian, I don't know how to, you know, how we just got into a huge fight about it. One of the fights was often she want, you know, or the religious
I'm
one.
I'm going to be alone in heaven.
Well, yeah. Or the religious one saying, like, how can you not want to believe this with me?
Yeah.
How can you be willing
how
to accept
How can you abandon
that,
me?
How can you be willing to accept that after we're dead, we don't get to be together? That,
hey, lady,
that,
death, and, death to us part, all right? But, give me a, I mean.
The contract I signed says that when I die, I get to shed you.
But, like, so. That and raising kids are the two, like, usually yeah. the two main points.
And so since you're both alive.
And since you are, well, I mean, that's why I asked if he still
lives
in heaven.
Let's set the bar low.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he, right. you guys have a daughter together. Are you guys raising?
I would say that having Teddy is actually what clarified a lot of it. I think Chris had been sort of wandering mm-hmm. vaguely towards, you know, my direction because, you know, I'm not out as an atheist in terms of, I don't, and I sort of started to feel bad about it because, like, I'm hugely out as a feminist, and I will get in your face about feminist things. Of
what?
I'm sorry.
We're all shocked to learn that.
I'm sorry.
And like, and so you know, I'm an out feminist,
yeah.
And yet with atheism, I'm like, well, you know, yeah, I'm an atheist, but I don't feel like I need to like
it's not
talk
your people
about
as much.
It. Yeah, it's yeah. like, I'm not gonna get all worked up about it because whatevs.
And I'm the opposite. You know, I get worked
and
up.
And I tend to sort of instinctively try to just smooth over or change the subject if it's like veering into uncomfortable territory with people. Like when I found out my friend who is a physicist is a young Earth creationist.
Oh, wow. That's rare.
What?
After my eyeballs finished doing little googly circles, like in a cartoon, and I just changed the subject because what I wanted to blurt was, how do you do that?
Yeah.
So I'm not, as we started dating and we'd go visit with his family, which was definitely Christian, and, you know, it would be time to pray over the meal,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I would not pray. And, you know, I would maybe bow my head, but I wouldn't close my eyes, you know, mm-hmm. and I'd be quietly, silently sure. respectful of, this is your belief. You know,
sit here and not talk or eat.
You want to close your eyes in a room full of Christians? That's when they give you the chloroform. They take you out to be brainwashed, and you know, one of us, one
if
of us.
If you close your eyes, right. you're implicit in their praying. Yeah, like, whatever they're right. praying for, you're saying you agree. That's the closing your eyes magic part.
Yeah, no, we don't want to close our eyes. There's magic going on. Does, there.
Doesn't that just say it all, though? I mean, close your eyes and talk to God. That's kind of
lean back and think of Jesus.
Right? Yeah. So just let it happen.
So as I was with him and his family, and he was still going to church every Sunday morning, and he's like, do you want to come with? And I'm like, no. and no. And so I was never, like, really in his face about it. It was just like, no, no,
mm-hmm.
no, 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 no. And then, you know, and when we, by the time we got married, it was, well, we're definitely not getting married in a church. We're clear on that, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we're clear on that. So, and that was a huge sticking point for his family.
Interesting.
So that was when it's, I think that was like another huge step forward was the understanding, we're not getting married in a church. Am I okay with that? Well, now that I think about it, that would be, why would we get married in a church? That's mm-hmm. not.
Secular service too?
Well,
married
yeah.
by a holy person? Or?
Charles, we got married by a geek is what we got
oh,
married
sure,
by.
Yeah,
we got
yeah.
married by
yeah.
Charles Peel.
Mm-hmm. In a movie theater.
Yeah.
So that was that's my temple, people.
It was
yeah.
short.
Yeah.
It was a really short ceremony.
That's the way to do it.
Those are my favorite kind of wedding ceremonies.
I was
80% of it was music.
7 minutes to heaven, baby.
Yeah, that was.
Ours was about 25 minutes long, and about 15 minutes of it was music.
We had no readings. We had no music. We had walk down the aisle, say the vows.
You improvised your
I
vows.
I had to improvise my vows, and then it was out.
Really? Did you take suggestions from the audience?
No.
I'm looking for a verb. Okay,
oh my
now
God,
a place
that'd be
that
ridiculous.
You work.
That'd be ridiculous.
Mad Lib wedding vows. That would
Mad
be kind of
wedding
awesome.
Vows. I'm sure that book exists.
So, I remember for Teddy, your daughter, was you actually allowed her in-laws to take her to church. In-laws to take her to church for a long time.
At what age? For
like,
a while.
Yeah, like, starting very young, probably well, because Chris and I talked about what are we going to do about Teddy? What are we going to do about religion and Teddy? And of course, this was, there's been sort of a break with my in-laws recently where what I thought was a situation which was sort of, you know, two groups of people that have different ideas but were respectful and polite is actually not the case. And I'm starting to see, oh, actually there's manipulations and going on in power plays and
mm-hmm.
oh, that's what's really going on. Oh, now I'm really uncomfortable. So like one thing that happened after Teddy was born that I found out after the fact was when they had Teddy for a visit, they dressed her in a baptismal gown and took pictures because Chris's grandmother was freaking out that we weren't going to baptize Teddy.
Oh, geez.
So they faked a baptism?
They took pictures.
Wow.
Because there's a family heirloom baptismal gown
sure.
that they wanted pictures of Teddy in. And
okay.
I was like,
did they tell the great-grandma that
well,
they baptized her?
Now I'm like, did you like say some prayer over my daughter without my permission? Because
yeah.
now it's like, I don't necessarily trust that. But you know what? It's easier to just believe and honestly, okay.
It's true. It is easier to just believe.
as every Christian would know.
Yeah.
And honestly, okay, you prayed over my daughter. Not what I wanted, but at the very least, you were basically saying nice things to my daughter.
And I mean, if you're an atheist, like, how mad can you get about someone praying at you? Because it's like, it's literally like nothing. Like, I said some words at you. I mean, if someone just said, like,
nice.
Gibberish at you that was well-meaning gibberish, how mad can you
Well, and it's like, is it free baptism? If I don't have to pay money for the baptism, like, whatever, fucking do it. It doesn't matter.
I didn't have to be there. I didn't have to get
there
dressed up. And I didn't have to keep my mouth shut while they said something I didn't believe in. So, yeah, it was pretty much the best baptism ever.
I mean, if we had a kid and someone, like, snuck my kid off to be baptized, I'd probably be pissed, though.
I'd be really pissed.
I would have super angry words with that person, but I'm not going to, like, I don't think it actually matters in terms of my kid. Right. It's a baby.
Right.
What pisses me off is the transgression between two adults.
The disrespect.
That's the disregard
of
a failure to respect.
No part of me is like, I don't think they actually
took her to a church. I think they just dressed her in the gown, but who knows what else.
Well, and if it's like a family dress and there's a whole album of everyone that's worn it and everything like that, mm-hmm. if it's a tradition and it's not as much religious, like, whatever.
Yeah. See, but then why don't you just fucking ask? See, that's the problem.
Right. Because there's nothing wrong with it. Why can't you just ask? We want to
put her in a baptismal gown. It's really important to great grandma. It's a family thing. You know, what parent, very few parents are going to say no to that. Unless they're super, super asshole atheist and like, no, fuck you. It's like, oh, come on.
Or they
on.
Ask in a
Who cares?
Shitty way.
Well, which is why when I found out, I'm like, eh, whatevs. So when we talked about having Teddy, it was what we decided because I, as a literature teacher, what became really apparent is in order to survive in our culture, you need to know your Bible stories because otherwise you're going to miss a lot of references.
Christianity is the dominant religion in our
And it's a dominant text. Well,
it's the dominant lore.
Right? I mean, let's go back to Darmok and Jalata Tanagra, right?
Right,
Star Trek reference.
I mean, we talk about things and reference unthinkingly all these Bible stories.
Absolutely.
We had this conversation about Teddy's going to need to know her Bible stories. And I'm like, what are we going to do? I am not willing to sacrifice myself on this. I'm not willing to take Teddy to church and sit through church just so Teddy can learn shit she needs to know. And Chris is like, well, I guess I could take her to church. So when his parents are like, we would like to take Teddy to church, Chris and I were like, when?
Great. Yeah.
But as she was getting older and they started teaching her like Jesus stories, I was like, well, good, she's learning the Jesus mythology. But she's learning it in a context that, like, says it's true. And so I kept being like, well, you know, people, honey, people believe other things.
I think what I would have done, like, what you could do is maybe, she doesn't have to be in church to learn those things. You could teach them to her alongside of all the Greek mythology and Egyptian mythology and all the other stuff in that same vein, since it's all mythology. I mean, there's a way to teach her in a way. I'd rather teach her at home than send her out to some fucking Sunday school where God knows what they're telling her.
Give her like a nice copy of like Aesop's Fables. And then like an illustrated Bible.
And then a Greek mythology book altogether.
And just put them right next to each other. And it's like, these are all nice stories that aren't real.
Well, the way we structured it was, number one, I never go to church, partially just to model for Teddy that you don't have to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that we would ask her what she learned and then we'd talk to her about it. But at the time, what was really going on was Chris's parents were willing to take her overnight on Saturday night and keep her until noon on Sunday. And we're like, taking her to church is what you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay, we get a night off.
Free babysitter.
Now we're not doing that. So what we've now transitioned to, which I really like, I think it's going to be great for Ted's, is we are now members of the First Unitarian Society.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So, we had a membership.
That's the more atheist-y one, too. They're great.
Their last pastor was an atheist.
Yeah.
And so when we had our membership meeting and they're like, introduce yourself, I'm like, well, I'm an atheist and you people don't make me want to gag, so that's why we're here. And they were like, good for you. They're like,
so their kids' programs are outstanding.
Yeah.
They're an inoculation. Exactly. Religion. That's what I like is Teddy's going to learn everything I want her to learn, but she's going to learn it in a context that says this is mythology.
Sure.
Yeah.
Along with a really great, by the way, did you know their sex ed program?
Our friend Troy teaches it.
It used to be, no, he does coming of age.
Okay.
Which is like seniors, AYS, or about your sexuality, which is now all our whole lives. It's gritty, man. Like, it is detailed. It's like, write a book report about this porn we're going to watch together, but it's not really porn, but like,
eh. It's softcore.
Is it veiny? I'm sorry. You said it was gritty and then porn.
Yeah. No, they talk about like why it's important, you know, communication and
you meet a lot of kids your own
age. Right. didn't hurt either. But
they are, all these teenagers in a room together talking about sex.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Lock-ins and stuff. Shenanigans.
Kids, if you're gonna drink, it's okay. You know, if you're gonna fuck, it's okay. I just prefer you do it here in the
church.
Use
condoms.
That's one thing that we're talking about already is like, what are we gonna do when Teddy starts to become sexually active? And I'm like, I would much rather she was having sex at home than having sex in a car with somewhere with someone. I would much rather it was under my roof and I knew about it.
Yeah.
Chris, of course, is still like, I
harder to get raped under your own roof too, by the way. Like, let's just put it that way. When you're a teenage girl, that pressure rape happens more than you want to admit. Like, and so it's a lot harder for that to happen when
you're already got your hands down my pants, so I guess we're gonna have sex.
Exactly. Yep.
I think with Chris, with him, it's just really the whole daddy doesn't want to believe his daughter's
in the house. Yeah, sure.
Well, it sounds like you guys are figuring it out pretty well, is amazing.
Well, when we had Teddy and she got old enough, we were like, we used to refer to our genitals as our naughty bits because it was sort of, it was sort of flirty to call it that. Yeah. And then we thought about it and went, we don't want to call it naughty in front of
Teddy. Yeah, exactly, for sure. Since when our kids were born, ever since our kids have been born, we call every thing by its proper name.
Yep.
Even though it was very weird because recently Alex explained to us that he's starting to get hair down there. And we're like, on your penis?
I hope not. I hope not.
But I love that.
Just on your upper thighs?
On your scrotum? In the genital area? Yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Down there.
And see, little Molly popped. Little Molly, I was like 14. I was like, I'm starting to get pubic hair on my labia. My mom's like, well, like your outer labia. I'm like, well, of course, my outer labia. Like my stepdad's just like, oh my God. Like, he's like, oh my God.
What have I married?
So he taught her all the right words. It's just so much worse.
So they're her girl parts, right? And daddy's boy parts. And we're using like the correct terminology too.
Sure.
And then we get the great random sort of, vagina's a funny word, Mom. Why is it called vagina?
It still is a funny word. I'm an adult. Vagina's hilarious.
And she'll touch herself constantly. Honey, don't touch yourself.
Oh, yeah. I was all about that.
And she's like, there's a bubble in my girl parts, Mom. It feels weird. I don't even know what that means, but apparently...
I totally know what that means. You tell Teddy I totally get that. She's not
always on your side.
She's not the only girl with bubbles.
I've had a bubble in my girl. I know exactly what she means.
Got a girl bubble in my girl.
You gotta kind of fluff it around to try to like get everything to lay back the right way. It feels like it's like you when your dog gets his lips stuck up like on his tooth.
You gotta pop
paint
that bubble.
A word picture.
Okay, so speaking of popping bubbles. That has nothing to do with what we're going to do next, which is five questions.
Hey, five questions.
Okay, your segues.
So
you've listened to our podcast before, I believe. So you know what our five questions are. So hopefully that will help you come up with the answers. Question number one, what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Oh, I hate best. You know that, right?
I don't care.
If you said, what is a movie you liked that you've seen in the last 30 days?
It's a movie you've liked in the last 30 days.
Okay, there we go. That takes the pressure off best. I don't know. What criteria are we using?
Pick one.
I saw a documentary that's on Netflix called Room 237.
Oh, about The Shining.
About Kubrick and The Shining. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was about The Shining, and it was a documentary, except what I didn't know is it's sort of this conspiracy theory.
The moon landing. It's his admission that he faked the moon landing.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I forgot about the one aspect.
Clearly, this shot is showing that the tray on the desk is actually his penis, and look at how funny that is. There's all these visual sex jokes. I'm like, what?
Some of it is like legitimate semiotics.
Well,
and
sure.
Some of it is, you're going to see what you want to see.
And that guy
wants to see penis.
I love the ones like about the floor plan, like that window shouldn't be there. And and some of it had really great points, but the inbox as penis was the one where I'm like, I love this movie. What the hell?
So Molly loves Stephen King and loves the book The Shining, love but it. She hates the Kubrick movie.
They not are a fan. Two, I understand completely. They yeah. are two separate yes. things.
Yes, they're not. I wish that he had just called it something else. I wish he'd called it Killer Hotel, because that's what he
What's the
that's
name what of the hotel? He could just call
the Overlook.
The Overlook.
The Overlook. Yeah, he could have just called it The Overlook.
I mean, we should just refer to that, isn't it? From
yeah,
now
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
the
I like
Overlook.
That.
Would be, yeah.
I like that, The Overlook.
Yeah, nobody right. would have gone to see it.
Well.
Yeah.
So.
So,
yeah, that's a good point.
So maybe it's not that good of a movie then.
Yeah.
Oh!
So, okay, that's an argument for another podcast.
Question number two. Who is your favorite atheist character?
So I was thinking about this today, and I think I'm just going to have to go with an oldie but a goodie. I love Han Solo
yeah.
so
Hell yeah.
much. He's so just cool about it and yeah. like... The swagger and confidence, and I don't need God on my side. I got a gun, bitch.
Han Solo is / Indiana Jones, my first yeah. crush. Like, my, yep. my first crush, hardcore.
Not Harrison Ford, but those two characters.
Yes,
right,
not
yeah.
Harrison Ford. Yeah. The combination, yeah. the man oh, that yeah. lies in the middle there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
the Venn diagram yeah. of that.
I just, there's some...
I'm just going to point diagram. Out that by the end of the Star Wars trilogy, Han Solo has converted.
I don't want to think about that.
Well, of course saying. He has. Well, Tim, yeah. he you believes convert too in the face of all that
he,
fucking evidence.
Well, yeah, there's
he,
a lot
believes, he believes in the Force because he sees that shit
exactly.
happen with his own
yeah.
eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't make him any less of a you know, skeptical.
Well,
I
and
guess.
Let's be clear. The Force is not some entity with its own consciousness. It surrounds us and binds us. It's through us. We are all a part of it. We all have access to it to varying degrees, right? That's what it is in Star Wars. Now,
but
granted,
what about midichlorians?
It's a religion, but I want to make it clear, like, because I was listening to the Batman podcast. That's mm-hmm. what I was talking to Tim about when you two came in. The idea of what would it take to prove to you that there was a God? And it's
right.
like, well, you know, you could levitate in front of me and say that it's God helping you do it, but all that would convince me of is, wow, people have the ability to levitate.
That's what
cool.
I would think, too. I believe in magic before I'd actually believe in an all-knowing, all-powerful deity. Yeah,
but that doesn't prove that there's yeah. somebody up there who
exactly.
is conscious and making decisions.
It proves
for
you're
me.
Bending the laws of physics in a way we don't understand yet. That's all.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Question number three is, what is your geekiest hobby?
I do a lot of geeky things. I think we all know that. I started at science fiction conventions.
Yeah,
for
I
know. Sake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shush, Tim.
But the thing I do that I most see other geeks go, what? I read the Silmarillion for pleasure. At least
oh,
once
wow.
a year.
Yeah.
She does. She's
it's like reading a Bible.
It is.
She's a serious Lord of the Rings.
That's awesome.
Nerd.
That's me with Dark Tower, so I feel you on that. That's, yeah, if there was a Silmarillion for the Dark Tower, I'd be reading it once a year.
When I saw Fellowship of the Ring and Aragorn is wearing the Ring of Barahir, I'm like, oh my God, that's the Ring of Barry.
That's awesome.
Do you know what that means? That's
and,
so cool.
And she said that, and the rest of us are like, no.
That's awesome. No, that's awesome, because yeah. that's a deep pull, and I respect Peter Jackson. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
So he did a lot in those movies for hardcore Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, him and my favorite stuff about that specifically, the level of detail and nerdery, is the interactions between him and Stephen Colbert, who is
Stephen Colbert is like a Tolkien scholar. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's yeah. You know, one of the biggest Tolkien nerds on Earth, and him going like toe to toe in trivia with other people, and
mm-hmm.
yeah,
always win.
He's in.
Well, I watch that shit and go, I didn't know that. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. He was in the second Hobbit. He had a cameo.
I have
he
to did. Admit, I haven't done a lot of the ancillary like tales of Farmer Maggot or all the other tales, the
poems and the
sagas,
the unfinished tales and stuff. I don't have the patience for a lot of that because, let's face it, Tolkien was a shitty ass writer. What he was a great world builder.
Right.
So, in that way, he has something in common with Star Wars, with George Lucas.
Huh. Yeah, yes. No, for sure.
Which brings us back to question number two. So question number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
Are hamburgers allowed?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
okay.
a sandwich.
Well, I just was checking.
Food like, between bread.
Well, the best sandwich is always a sandwich you don't have to make for yourself. And if we're burgers are allowed, then the best burger is Matt's Juicy Lucy.
Hmm. Ah, Juicy Lucy returned to
the classic.
Twin Cities.
Classic, right? Cheese inside meat. Yes.
Do you put anything like lettuce, tomato?
No, cheese and meat.
No ketchup or mustard?
Cheese and meat. And buns. The bun.
Yeah.
The bun is purely there to hold onto the meat so it doesn't burn your fingers and to catch any cheese to slip out. And then the best is sometimes the cheese drips onto the wax paper and you grab a fry and you scoop that shit up right on that fry. yes. Pepper. I put a lot of pepper on it.
Oh, all right.
So when we had Hedge on, she said hers was a juicy bluesy.
Yeah, from the Blue Door Pub.
A blue cheese juicy Lucy of some sort.
Like, we're going to have to try that. We're going to totally go get it.
Blue cheese on a blue cheeseburger is my new thing, like in the last 2 years. I'm like, oh, that's a flavor.
Yeah.
See, I love cheese, but blue cheese, no. Moldy really? Cheese, I do not do
that. God, I love blue cheese.
It's too bad,
I do like blue cheese.
Too bad. It's too bitter. Too bitter.
Do you like aged cheddars? Sharp?
I do. But I like the sharpness. But any kind of blue, any kind of moldy cheese,
there's definitely that fermented mold flavor that just,
you don't like alcohol either.
I don't.
Yeah, oh, well, that's good. It.
You don't like good things. That's what we clearly discovered.
And sorry, last question number 5 is, what's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said about your atheism?
Well, because I'm not super out about it, I don't get a lot of stupid comments, which is super nice.
It could be about atheism in general.
But there was when Chris's grandmother sort of pushed it at one point about what my beliefs were, and I made it clear that I don't really believe in God or anything, and it was the classic, but Chris will be so lonely in heaven without you.
Oh, fuck.
That was...
It's like I'm going to guilt you into believing in God by saying this person that you love will have to spend eternity without you, and isn't that awful? It's like, no, it's awful that God is such a dick.
Yeah, it's no different than the threat of hell. They're both are equally unreal to me, so that is not a motivating...
If there is eternal life for everyone, like after death, why don't you just fucking give it to everybody? If you'd want us to spend time with the people we love, and love is supposed to matter to your God, it's a whole rabbit hole of stupid.
In terms of stupid things about atheism, it's always been if you're not Christian, then you have no moral compass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you. I've seen Star Wars. That's all the moral compass I need. Star Trek.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I am a sci-fi geek. I have a better moral compass than you do.
I used to tell people that if I had a Bible, it would be the Dark Tower, because that's the closest thing I've ever come to feeling any kind of religion. Like, honestly, like feeling anything for that. Yeah.
Now, there is one thing I miss about being a Christian. There was an SNL sketch that I was like, oh, that would be awesome, where when you die, you go to heaven and there's an angel there who answers every question.
Oh yeah, sure.
I'm like, now that would be cool.
Who shot JFK? Lee Harvey Oswald. But anyway, the point is,
which
it'd
is
be
better,
good to have it confirmed.
Creamy or chunky peanut butter?
Subjective. But
no,
but
I love in the sketch is that there's an answer. It's like, what's the biggest mistake I made? You couldn't handle it. Oh, fair point. What's the fifth biggest mistake I made? Well, one time you walked over when you were on the beach. You walked over an entire treasure chest full of gold, and it was only like a foot down. Oh, yeah, see, I told you.
Yeah. You don't want to know it's higher than
that's
that.
That's fair. I'm done. I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Wendy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
It was a great time.
I like you guys, so it was nice to see you.
Yeah.
So, we've been Geeks Without God. If you enjoyed our podcast, I'm going to encourage you to go to iTunes and rate us on iTunes.
Please. Grade us.
Yeah.
Judge us.
Nobody's judging us on iTunes, and it's starting to get really harsh, guys. So.
I could judge you. I'm a judger.
Well, that's one, and we want everybody else to do it, too.
I don't even care how many stars you give us, because I know you're going to give us a reasonable number. Just give us what you think we should have.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evidence-based stars. That's what we want.
That's all we want. I don't want your pity fives.
Yeah. So.
What about troll ones? Trolley one.
Fuck you, troll away. I don't care.
I'll take your pretty vibes. I'll take all of Molly's pretty vibes.
And our Camp Quest fundraiser is still going on. We are over $500. We're shooting for 1,000 so we can sponsor 2 kids. Please log on.
Or one set of twins.
Or a set of, that'd be even better.
Or one really big kid.
This podcast is never going to end unless I just say thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I have nothing against mold. I just don't want it on my cheese.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
Pretty sure there's a Clementine dick in your Lotus.